it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Back at Camden Yards, the Orioles are back today to try and get it right as they take on the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 2 of a three-game series. Wade Miley today will try to become a three-game winner, and Adam Wainwright, a veteran for the Cardinals, he'll try to become an eight-game winner for the Cardinals so far this year. In a moment, Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this.
What's new today? I think somebody said that Mike was asking me. He did get an injection yesterday. Man, that's usually down 3 days. So I think we have to, I would think, as optimistic as he might be about it, it'd probably be a little bit of a push for the 10-day period. I'm talking to Richie, but I know Mike's got a place down in Sarasota. We might decide whether we're going to go down there or not. His family's in town over the weekend, so we're obviously leaving him here.
With Davis, because he said he hoped to be pain-free in that 7 to 10 day window. Does that kind of put him at, maybe 3 weeks at best for an oblique because they're such pesky injuries?
Well, I think history and they have a pretty, the trainers and I think in general have a pretty extensive model of what those things usually take. And I think 3 weeks would be real ambitious. I'd sign up for that right now, but who knows? It was grade one. So he had it before on the other side, but we'll see. I'd love to think that was the case. Those things are so hard to get a grip on. I've seen them where you go out and test them at a certain period of time, and not that you re-injure them, but you certainly bring it into play more.
Because of his history of wanting to play through injuries, and are you going to try and encourage him to be more patient?
Well, with this one, it's you're complete. You're completely fine, or you're not. There's no in between with this type of thing. You either can swing and you feel nothing, or it's sharp and biting. So there's not a with this type of injury, there's not a whole lot in between. So when it's right, it's right. What they do, Rich, between the locker room and their house, and what they may do in the backyard and testing stuff out. You can caution them as much as possible, but still kind of at their mercy away from here.
You didn't get the lineup question yesterday. Manny moving him up to second. What's the thought process there?
Just different look, second, third. There's a lot of people. It's kind of we did it with Jonesy. It's kind of how the games. A lot of guys are hitting, one of their best hitters in the two hole. He came up with some RBI situations there, but I've been thinking about just trying to give him a different feel, a different look. Something. Of course, doing it with Martinez or Wainwright or Lynn, but then you got Kluber right behind them. That's the big leagues, So, what are you waiting for? It's hard. Just trying to give them a different look, different feel, just something. There's no real deep meaning to it, other than sometimes just want to try something a little different for him.
Now that Asher is back in the bullpen, would he be available today?
Yeah. Okay. I could have pushed it yesterday with 2 days, but, Roger, I felt like it'd be better today. That was one reason when we didn't feel like I didn't like using him yesterday with only 2 days off after throwing close to 100 pitches, and today he's in good shape. He backed off his work day. I'm hoping that having him down there, because he's a pretty durable guy down there, that'll help us from some of the movement we've had to make because of the short starts. How do you like the 4 o'clock games? Does anybody like them?
Good for sleep, bad for eating.
I mean, it's in between. You don't get the benefit of either one. You don't get the benefit of a morning game, you don't get the benefit of a night game.
You always think you're going to have like this night, and you don't.
Well, it depends on how late. But if you had a night game tomorrow, you would have a night. We done?
Yeah, we're done. That's it. Hey, just look at the schedule, show up, and you play the games when they tell you to, I guess. Hey, there's a draft in here. And the burning question is by J.J. Hardy, When was he drafted, out of high school or out of college? Well, Mike Bordick today found out the hard way, and you're going to hear that conversation when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Earlier today, I had the chance to talk with the Orioles All-Star shortstop J.J. Hardy about when he was drafted back in 2001. Stay tuned for that on the Orioles Radio Network.
Special guest today, J.J. Hardy, Orioles All-Star shortstop. I'd like to talk to you about the draft that just came and went and what you went through in the draft back in 2001. Yeah, a long time ago. Anyway, tell us about that process, actually leading up to it when you were in college.
Well, it was high school for me because I, but.
JJ, some of your thoughts of before the draft of 2001.
It was an exciting time in my life. I didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if I was going to be going to college. Didn't know if I was going to get drafted high enough to go pursue my dream at that time. But I remember a lot of workouts with different organizations. Just showcases, trying to let teams know what I was capable of, and it was a fun process.
Well, was there anybody actually helping you along the way, or did you just kind of figure things out on your own?
I think the showcases were the biggest thing. I mean, they're not cheap to go to, especially when they're out of the state. So sometimes I needed help with that because we didn't always have enough money to do it. But, there was a guy that we hired for speed. Speed was one of my things that I did not have, and scouts knew it. So I actually, my dad had a track coach that he had known that gave me some lessons on how to run a 60, and I got my 60 time respectable enough to where that kind of took the question marks away from some of the scouts.
Nice. So, okay, you get drafted. What were the next steps? Did somebody call you and let you know on draft day?
Yeah, it was, we had all my high school buddies came over to my house, and it was more about, I think, watching it on the internet, like, as quick as possible. I think back then it was like, I don't know, a few minutes. You know, I think I got the call before it actually popped up on the internet, but it's much different now with being live on television and kids being at the draft. I think it's taken 3 or 4 days now versus, I think, getting all the picks done in a day. So it's definitely changed in that way, but still very exciting.
And where'd you get shipped off to?
When I finally signed, I was a second-round pick, and I waited till the first-round pick signed. They were focused on him. I think the money was always different, too. I don't know if there was budgets. I don't know, like slot money. I mean, it was that was run a little bit different. So I think it took a month or so for the first rounder to sign, and then they came and started working on signing me. Once I signed, I went to rookie ball, which was in Arizona, for about a week, learned all the signs, learned kind of the organization, and then they shipped me off to Ogden, Utah, where our short season was.
So after you signed as the number two pick, obviously high selection, were you confident that you were going to make it to the big leagues shortly, or did you have any kind of idea of what you were about to embark on?
I didn't have much of an idea. I mean, it was, in high school, every player that's drafted pretty much is the best player in high school, and that's what I dealt with. When I went to Ogden, Utah, and every pitcher was throwing 90 miles an hour or harder, that was new to me. I feel like I went from hitting like 450 in high school to struggling to hit 250 in rookie ball, and felt like, it was going to be a lot harder than I expected.
And so the next year, though, after you had signed that first summer, you go to spring training. What was that first spring training like? Do you remember that at all?
I remember one particular game in spring training, and you see it all the time where minor league guys will get called up to a big league game to kind of fill in the seventh or eighth inning, and that was what I was going to do. I remember getting called up, and it was a split squad. I was going to back up Bill Hall. It was against Oakland, and right before the game, Bill Hall's shoulder was sore, and I got the start and was 19 years old. Tim Hudson was throwing for Oakland, and I mean, I was nervous as all. I mean, you know, it was a big moment, and he struck me out on three straight pitches, threw a slider that buckled me, and it was an outside corner, strike one, and then threw a sinker that I swung over the top of by a couple feet, and then a split that I was way out in front of. I think it bounced in front of the plate. And I walked back to the dugout thinking I will never play in the big leagues. I didn't see any of those pitches. And so the next three at-bats were minor league guys that had come over to kind of fill in for their big league guys, and I was able to get three hits, so I went 3 for 4. But after that first at-bat, knowing what big league pitchers were like was a real shock for me.
Yeah, and then really the process probably set in. I mean, you had to work your way through the minor leagues until you ultimately made it to the big league.
Yeah, it was 3.5 years. I mean, 2005 I started in the big leagues with Milwaukee, and it might have been a little bit early. I missed pretty much the whole AAA season because of a shoulder injury, and then the next year started in the big leagues. And really, it was just the opportunity. The organization didn't have a shortstop at the time. They told me to go catch the ball, and anything that I did offensively was a bonus. And that was it. I mean, I always focused on my defense, so I felt like I could always catch the ball, and then hitting came slowly.
Do you think the minor leagues was a test, or do you think you learned enough through the minor leagues? And if you did, what advice would you have for some of these new draft guys?
Oh, you learn a lot in the minor leagues. I mean, you learn how long the season can be, for one. It's really, for high school kids, it's the first time really being away from home. And that's an adjustment all by itself. But the game is tough. I mean, it's you got to work harder than everyone else, and try to have fun while you're doing it.
Try to have fun while you're doing it. Absolutely. Thanks for your time, JJ. Great stuff right there.
Thanks, Mike.
Good hearing from JJ Hardy. Stay tuned for Orioles baseball.
And hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick, back at the ballpark. And back in the win column. Yep, they beat the Cardinals today 15-7. 15 runs on 15 hits, 5 home runs. And with Mike Bordick, who is about to get the headset on here. I'll tell you what, Bordick, I thought Wade Miley today made a big stride forward. He wins it, so he's back in the win column himself. But when he left the game in the sixth inning, he was one out away from what would have been a quality start. The bullpen couldn't get it done for him, but I thought Miley... I think today he went forward in his endeavor to become the pitcher he can be.
Well, I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like the Wade Miley that's had success this year. You know, he's mixing in all four of his pitches. He had the good fastball that he wasn't afraid to bust inside to the righties or the lefties. He had a big curveball, hard slider, which was probably his best pitch of the ball game. Occasional changeup mixed in there. But he kept the Cardinals team off balance. He was working in and out. Yeah, he had some walks, and his pitch count got jacked up. But that's a typical Wade Miley start. As long as he gets you deep into a ball game, and almost did come away with a quality start.
Well, the bad news was that when Buck did go to the bullpen and had a very commanding lead at the time, Asher couldn't get the job done. And then Blyer came in, faced one batter, walked him. And finally, Buck, it just seemed as though he said, hey, that's enough of that stuff. He brought in Michael Givens in this game in the sixth inning.
Yeah, right. You know, Alec Asher, of course, looked like he was in line to finish up the ball game potentially. That's why he was moved back out to the bullpen. Couldn't get that elusive third out, of course, of the sixth inning. And then Blyer had problems as well in there to face the lefty in almost a four-pitch walk. Well, Givens comes in. Buck Showalter talked about it. You know, he's going to stick with the arms he trusts. Of course, the back end of the bullpen with Givens and Brock right now, the two strongest arms out there, and they were dominant today.
Of course, now the question is, who is he going to trust tomorrow? Ubaldo Jimenez will get the start, and if he falters and has a short outing, now the question is, who do you go to then? And out of the bullpen, Michael Givens today threw about 44 pitches, so most likely he's not available tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. That's the only setback right there. Now, this win, I think, is crucial. And Buck Showalter did not want to let it get away. And in the middle innings there, you know, it looked like there was a chance. The Cardinals were coming back. Just didn't have a good feeling. So Buck Showalter put a halt to it. And you deal with tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good way to do that. The Cardinals had the lead early in this game against Wade Miley. He walked the leadoff hitter. And then with one out, he walked Martinez, the number three hitter. And then with two outs, Molina came up to hit. And the ball was hit real hard, but Scope could not make a play. Left-hander against right-hander, Miley's pitch. And Molina hits it, a ground ball to Scope, and the ball gets past him. Took a bad bounce, and the ball got past him. Carpenter comes in to score. There goes Martinez to third, the ball back into second base. and a ball that was sharply hit. Scope was right there. It looked like it took a bad bounce. It handcuffed him, and Scope could not get a glove on that thing. And so the Cardinals had a 1-0 lead. But right away, Orioles came right back in the bottom of the first inning with two outs and the bases empty. Adam Jones. And the breaking ball. He hung it. Adam Jones got all of it. Way back in left center. Way back in home run alley. Wave it bye-bye, Mr. Jones. He hung a breaking ball, and Adam got a pretty good look at it. He hits it out. 1-1 in the first inning.
Well, I think one thing you're going to be able to count on from Adam Wainwright is a good look at some breaking balls. And Adam Jones looked like he was sitting on the slow hook right there. A big 12-6er. And he catches up in the top of the zone. Adam Jones finds his 12th home run. Solo shot to even this one up.
All right, so if you hang it, they will bang him. Jones did that. And then just moments after that, you know, Trumbo sends a fly ball to deep center. This one could go. Fowler way back there near the wall. He's going to jump up. It's gone. A home run. It barely got over the wall. It barely got over Fowler's glove. So back-to-back home run. Jones and Trumbo. Orioles ahead 2-1. So 2-1 there. Then came the bottom of the second inning when the Orioles pretty much put the game away. Although later in the game it was a bit in doubt, but that was a big inning, a big crooked number, as they scored 7 runs on 6 hits. It began on a single by Jonathan Scope, and then a walk to Castillo, and then later after Kim forced an out, that's when J.J. came up to hit. And the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball line into left center. That's a base hit. The Scope comes in. There's Kim going to third. The ball gets past Fowler. Kim around third, being waved in, and he will score standing without a play. Hardy a double and a couple of RBIs. Orioles ahead 4-1. So a big hit for J.J. Hardy. Well, the inning went on. After Smith lined out, Manny Machado came up to swing a bat. Now the breaking ball drilled to left center. That ball is heading for the gap. That ball is way back there. Take that baby bye-bye. A line drive home run into the Oriole bullpen, and it got there quickly. Manny with number 13. Orioles ahead 6-1. There you go, Machado. You talk about a laser beam, that's what that was. Jones came up, he got hit by a pitch. Trumbo then singled. It brought up Trey Mancini. 1-2 pitch. There's a shot toward left center, and that's a base hit. Head ball is in the gap. Head ball is rolling. It is rolling. It's on the warning track. Jones is in. Here comes Trumbo, and he rumbles in. And that's a 2-run double. 8-1 Orioles in the second inning. And eventually, hey. Scope. This is fun. It was fun.
Isn't it?
That was fun to watch. Scope later a single. Picked up an RBI. So the Orioles 7 runs on 6 hits in that second inning. But the Cardinals, they kept pecking away. DeJong hit a 2-run homer in the 4th inning. Molina hit one with the bases empty in the 5th inning. But prior to that, in the bottom of the 4th inning, Machado a leadoff double, Jones a single. After a couple of strikeouts, Scope came up to hit again. And the 1-0 pitch. Fly ball, left center. Look out bullpen. Way back there. Pipe it bye-bye. Scope a 2-run home run. So he's got 12 now. And the Orioles have 12 runs here this afternoon.
Wow. Well, Jonathan Scope making a push for the All-Star game for sure. Offensively, he has been unbelievable.
Yeah, and with that home run, he took over the club's RBI lead. And Scope would be heard from again later in the game. But the Cardinals try to get back in the game in the 6th inning against Wade Miley. Strikeout to begin the inning, but then Huffman an infield single. After DeJong struck out, Carpenter got a base on balls. Exit Wade Miley with 2 on base. Enter Alec Asher to go to work on the switch hitting Derek Fowler. And now the 2-2 from Asher, driven to left center. Pretty well hit. This ball is going a long way. This ball is gone. That is a 3-run home run. So it is now 12-7. My goodness. It's only the 6th inning. Yeah, Dexter Fowler trying to get the Cardinals back in the ballgame. That's when Buck go to the bullpen again eventually. Blyer came in. He walked a man. And then Givens eventually came in to get the third out on a big 1-2-3 pitch strikeout, all on fastballs. Well, Orioles came back. Scope, the leadoff hitter, in the 7th. So the count 2-2, and here comes the next offering. Breaking ball, fly ball, left field corner. He could do it again. Way back in the corner. Bye-bye. Jonathan Scope has homered for the second time today. So he's got 13 now. That was a solo into the seats in the left field corner. 13-7, Orioles. There you go. Scope, big day for him. Then after that, one out, a single by Kim. Record came out as a pinch runner, and J.J. was able to cash in. Yeah, the 0-1 delivery, Hardy, fly ball, right field corner. Huffman on the run. Can he get there in the corner? Reaches out. He cannot get that. That's a base hit in the corner. Rickard around third being waved in. Here's the relay. One bounce, and Rickard with a head-first dive beats the tag. 14-7 Orioles. Hardy a double, his third RBI today. And the Orioles later scored another run on a wild pitch in the bottom of the eighth inning. Well, Givens out of the bullpen. He went 2 1/3 scoreless. And Brad Brock came into a 15-7 game, and he got the last three outs in order. And the next offering, ground ball to Scope. There it is. He bobbles it, retrieves it, throws it. Ball game is over. Orioles back in the win column. They beat the Cardinals, and they beat them 15-7. They hit five home runs in the game on this Saturday. Boy, does that feel good. Winning a convincing victory. Mike Bordick will continue our post-game information right after this.
Jonathan Scope, a monster day. 4 for 5 with a couple home runs. Jim Hunter and Jim Palmer got to talk to him after the game today.
Now back here at Camden Yards, where the Orioles get even in this series, exploding 15 runs. They win at 15-7. Jonathan Scope joins us. He had a 4 for 5 game. Second two-home run game of the year and four RBIs. Jonathan, are you seeing the ball as well as you ever had in your career? It seems like even if you miss a pitch, you come back and you get the next one.
To be honest, you know, I'm kind of feel better today. You know, like 2 weeks already, you know, I'm getting my ears, but I'm not feeling the way I want to. But today, finally come out, see the ball better, and put some good swing.
Did that have anything to do with Carlos Martinez taking the afternoon off?
Yes, he was unbelievable yesterday. So it was tough game for us yesterday with him, you know. But to be honest, he get us ready. You know, he gets ready.
You know, I always kid you. I said, you know, you're the best breaking ball. Whoops, there you go. Okay, that's what 4 for 5 gets you.
What's wrong with him?
No. Yeah. What was the taste? Was it anything good?
Vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla.
So.
Yeah, yeah. A vanilla. Okay, vanilla. That we like that.
Yeah, I do.
So, but talking about breaking balls, you know, again, I mean, when you play these type of these games, these 4 for 30 games, is the seeing the ball a little bit difficult? Obviously, when you go for 4 for 5, it couldn't have been too tough.
You know, seeing the ball and swing, strike. You know, that was my goal is coming in this season. You know, swing and more strike and don't chase too much. You know, and if see the ball in the zone and put a good swing on it.
Now, of course, every game is different. You got to come back and do it again tomorrow. But yeah. As tough as it's been for this team over the last 2 weeks, what does a game like today do for you?
You know, it gave us a boost. You know, like we still down. From two, like, you know, we've been losing, you know, but we come back today and we win today and it gives us a boost a little bit. So, you know, to forget everything about 2 weeks that the losing streak and come here and try to win tomorrow too.
Well, here's the deal. You already had dessert. Go home, have a good meal, get your rest, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, Jonathan Scope, a big day, hitting his 12th and 13th home run. And of course, that led to 15 runs on the board for the Orioles, and the Orioles scoring that many runs tonight means tomorrow at participating Baltimore McDonald's restaurants, you can get a free 10-piece Chicken McNuggets through the McDonald's app. Download the app to score hot deals. Well, Orioles a monster day offensively today. Well, headed by Jonathan Scope, J.J. Hardy, a couple doubles in the ball game. The tone was set in the first inning by Jones and Trumbo. But we got to go downstairs and take a listen to Buck Showalter as he fills us in on this big win this afternoon.
Buck, without being too negative, obviously up 12-4, using Givens there is not your plan A, right?
No, but we won. We scored more runs than they did. We had a touchdown lead. Brad fortunately needed to throw today. I was hoping we could get Ash there, but you could tell the momentum of that game was starting to change. And, you know, Michael was probably the key to the game today.
Did you pull wire to keep him preserved tomorrow?
No. No, we're trying to win the game. And, you know, gets popped there by all those right-handers coming up, and we got a problem. Ball's flying out here today, too. That's another issue you had going. Pardon?
Talked about Givens being the key. How much did he kind of settle down things a little bit?
Well, that was this big momentum change. You know, that game, you never feel like there's enough on day games here, especially the way the ball's jumping. How many home runs today? Six or seven? Yeah. Eight. So, you know, you're just hoping that there's not walks and there's not errors so that you don't have that issue. Wade was okay. You know, Wade seems like he's the victim of, you know, a lot of pitches barely off the plate. And, you know, those are balls. Sometimes he gets a few of them. Sometimes he doesn't. But, you know, it's part of the game today with the way the umpire is being evaluated. You know, they're for the most part, they make you throw it over the plate in today's game, for the most part.
That second inning, how nice was it just to have the offense kind of unload like that, because it's been happening?
Yeah, it's a good pitcher, good pitching staff, and just grouped together a lot of good at-bats and just some I think they know in the American League and in Major Leagues, period. You never know how much is going to be enough. You better make hay while you can.
I know you've talked a lot about Jonathan, kind of maybe some of the evolution of him as a hitter, some of the walks totals kind of going up. But when you see,
I ever use the word evolution. I gotta be anyway.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you see a day, I mean, is that a byproduct of some of this other stuff that you see? That
John has slowed the game down, you know, and he's taking. You know, I was talking to he and Manny around the cage. I said, John, you think you got more walks or less walks than you have at this stage last year? He knows. I asked Manny the same question. He knows. I think Trum has the biggest jump in walks of all of them. But it's not always walks. It's just don't let, you know, do things that you get yourself out. And it's been fun to watch John because he's been pretty consistent with it. That's what makes you think he may, you know, get a chance to be one of those guys. He's pretty good regardless. I know he's the type of guy disappointed in a couple of defensive plays. But, you know, he came right back and made a great play to lead off the next inning after that.
With Givens throwing so much today, I mean, was it difficult to have him go out there for the third time there in the eighth
inning? Well, no, he'd had 2 days off after, you know, he had, if his pitch count was a little higher, he only had 20 pitches after, so the third started, he ended up throwing 20-something that inning, and he had a lot of foul balls. You know, so that was his last hitter that he faced. You know, I was going to have to bring Brad in there because, you know, that's what we had available. So I'd rather not, but we're also trying to win a game. And also, you know, live to fight another day. Whether he pitched that inning or didn't, he'd probably be down tomorrow.
Fuck that play by Manny in the eighth inning.
To make it even better, I had a good look at it. It's probably foul. It's probably a foul ball. So. But the most amazing thing is the throw and the velocity that he can create from that arm angle. I was talking to Brian Butterfield, the third base coach of the Red Sox. He was talking about he's got a first-class seat there. Talking about one of the differences is the velocity and the arm strength that he can create from different slots. And, you know, most people can't get that much on the ball and throw accurately. And you know, people that haven't been around it, you know, but you try to rate them. And, you know, I was talking to Manny about it day before yesterday, or it was yesterday, but, you know, the level that he expects, you know, people expect him to make every play and be perfect. And, you know, when he doesn't do something just flawlessly defensively, everybody goes, what's wrong with him? You know, is he tired or whatever? I mean, think about the bar that he has set for himself. And, you know, I can't say it now, but when I'm through one day, I'll tell you how I really think where he rates, comparatively speaking. Okay, done.
All right, thanks, Buck.